Indeed, you know, when we think of how we are alive, it's just the grace of God. I mean, it's Him that, you know, wakes us up. It's Him that sustains us. It's Him that helps us in our workplaces. Everything in our marriages, everything that we are, it is Christ, you know. And at times we forget that, especially I think what happens is whenever we forget that it is Christ that lives in us, it is the faith of Christ that works in us, and we put our strength on ourselves, or we look into the arm of flesh, what happens is that we, you know, we begin to fail and we begin to fall. And you can think of Peter, you know, when he looks at the wind and he begins to sink. But, you know, when he saw Christ and Christ told him, come, you know, and he started walking, he walked on water. But then when he looked at him, at the wind, when he shifted his eyes from Christ, then what happens is that he begins to sink. And, you know, when we think of, you know, the flesh and when we think of living by the Spirit, you know, they're usually like, I will always say it's like a thin line that we find at times we cross. You know, at one point you feel like, yes, you know, when things are good, when you prayed, when you're in worship, and, you know, when you're constantly in the Word, you find that you're constantly conscious of the presence of God and you're living by the Spirit. And then a moment where that word, you know, moves away, or that word, you know, slowly becomes, you become forgetful of the Word, then what happens is that you find that you slowly move back to yourself, you slowly move back to your own abilities, you slowly move back to your own righteousness. And when you do that, what happens is that you now slowly find yourself shifting, and you're living according to the flesh and justifying yourself through the flesh. So it's like God wants us to constantly be in the Word, and we constantly being reminded of the Word that He gave us. And that's where I want us to look at. We'll look at Galatians chapter 2, and we'll read from verse 11 to the end. But what we see is Paul, the encounter of Paul and Peter, and where he rebukes Peter, and we'll settle on Galatians 2:20. I believe that will be our theme verse for today. But I want us to just see, you know, the aspects of rebuilding what we destroyed, you know, and trying to look at the faith of the Son of God. You know, there's a faith that God has given us to live by. There's a faith that God has asked us to dwell in, and to constantly be reminded that it is not us, it is Christ. Inasmuch as He helps us to live this walk of salvation, we must constantly go back and hide behind Him and hide behind the cross. So let us read in Galatians chapter 2 from verse 11. It says, but when Peter had come to Antioch, I withstood him to the face, because he was to be blamed. For before that, certain men from James came from James. He did eat with the Gentiles. But when they were come, he withdrew and separated himself, fearing them which were of the circumcision. And the other Jews dissembled likewise with him, insomuch that Barnabas was also carried away in their dissimulation. But when I saw that they walked not uprightly according to the truth of the gospel, I said unto Peter before them all, if thou, being a Jew, livest after the manner of the Gentiles, and not as do the Jews, why do you compel the Gentiles to live as the Jews? We who are Jews by nature are not sinners of the Gentiles, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Jesus Christ that we might be justified by the faith of Christ and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. But while we seek to be justified by Christ, we ourselves also are found sinners. Is therefore Christ the minister of sin? God forbid. For if I build again the things which I destroyed, I make myself a transgressor. For I through the law am dead to the law, that I might live unto God. Verse 20, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh or in the body, I live by faith, by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not frustrate the grace of God, for if righteousness came by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. Now, just as we look at the background of this, you have to think of the, you know, the cultural complexities that were there in the early church. And we know that Christianity arose out of Judaism. And Jesus came from the Jews, and the Jews were practicing Judaism. And for a long time, the Judaism had practiced the separation from the Gentiles. And so anyone that was not a Jew, anyone that was not following their law was a Gentile. And they had very strict, you know, customary rules that separated the Jews from eating with the Gentiles. And there was that clear demarcation. And as we've been learning from the book of Acts, is that the Holy Spirit, by the coming of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, not only on the Jews, on the Gentiles, Christ was revealing this new way of faith, this new way of justification that breaks that barrier between the Jews and the Gentiles, and that all are accepted to God, all are children of God, and that the law that, you know, that the Jews claimed was the one that made them righteous was just a schoolmaster. It was just a temporary thing, but the reality is found in Christ. And so we see the practicality of that is that when Paul preached to the Gentiles, he lived as the Gentiles. He ate with them. You know, he did not live in sin, but he did not keep the following or the laws, you know, the customary laws of the Jews. And so you see, when Peter was with him, Barnabas was with him, they lived together, they ate with the Gentiles. But you see, when certain men came from the Jews, when they visited them in Galatia, what happened is that Peter now got scared. Peter went back to, you know, to his former Judaistic or Jewish behavior, which he now separated himself. And Paul could clearly see that the apostle, the leader of the church, was not living according to the light of the gospel. And you see how difficult it is, especially when leaders fall away, in that by those who God has placed above us, when they fall away, when they move out of the light of the gospel, it what happens is that it also impacts, you know, others, because there are many people who believe because, or they follow after the pattern of the leaders. And so you can see that how critical it is, especially when God raises us up. And that is why God delays, you know, or rather warns us against, you know, raising or putting people into leadership that are still novices. But you see, Peter was ideally not a novice, he was mature, yes, but you see there's still the cultural bonds that were holding him. And so he is confronted by Paul, and Paul clearly tells him before everyone that, but have you forgotten that our justification, and justification here means being made right with God. Our justification does not come from us keeping the law, and this is the customary law of the Jews. It does not come, you know, from, you know, ceremonial cleanings, from separation, you know, from how the Jews would, you know, use religion as a means of making them right. And he tells them that, don't we know that we who have believed in Christ, we are justified by putting of our faith in Christ, by our faith, you know, in Christ. And it's like, by you separating yourself, you think that by you separating yourself from the Gentiles or not eating with them, now that you've seen other Jews have come, you're scared of what they will say about you, you think that is what will make you righteous. And he clearly tells him that, you know what, I am a Jew, and we are not sinners. I mean, like, they will consider the Gentiles sinners, but we know that a man is not, verse 16, is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. But you see, he's not saying that as believers, we don't live by the standards of the law. There's a difference between that. There's the living, doing the deeds of the law, you know, like, okay, now they had to go to the temple, you know, they had to give alms, they had to, you know, to wash their hands, they had to cut their hair, or they have to trim their beards, you know, that, you know, all the various ceremonial, going, giving sacrifice, and, you know, at the temple, and all the, he's like, it is not those things that make us righteous, but it is that we have put our faith in Christ. And so he tells him that now you are trying to show that you are made righteous by keeping the Jewish law, which is not the case. But then he tells him that, but you see, it does not mean that we as believers, we that who have put ourselves in Christ, break the law. So this is what he was trying to say in verse 17, when he's asking that, you know, that if we are found guilty, that while we seek to be justified by Christ, we ourselves also are found sinners. Is therefore Christ the minister of sin? And this is a question he's asking. I mean, if I look at another version, NLT, it says, but suppose we seek to be made right with God through faith in Christ, and then we are found guilty because we have abandoned the law, what will that mean? Has Christ led us into sin? No. So he's saying that if by us following after Christ and not keeping the law, does that mean that we you know, Christ has led us to sin? Or by us not keeping the law, does that make us sinners? And this is what he's trying to ask Peter. But then he says no. And he tells him that if you rebuild, you know, it's like when Christ comes to wash our minds, when Christ comes to transform our minds, and that's what we're told, by the renewal of your mind, you know the and test the will of God. As we constantly hear this message of Christ, this message of Christ being revealed, living in us, us putting our faith in Christ, us living under Christ, hiding under Christ, knowing of our union with Christ, knowing that God looks at Christ, you know, our righteousness is not of ourselves, our righteousness is of Christ. As we constantly look at that, but then in our own weakness, in our own, you know, understanding, or in our own thinking that no, it was me, and oh, I've not done this, or you know, because I've not done this, God cannot do this for me, or because I've not done this, God cannot do this. You know, when we shift our focus from Christ, from the righteousness of Christ, from the faith of Christ, the Bible is telling us now we start to rebuild what we already destroyed. And it says that if I build again the things which I destroyed, I make myself a transgressor. It's like you have already been redeemed from that way of life. You've been redeemed from, you know, thinking that it is your righteousness, it is your effort, it is your, you know, your human abilities, it is how, you know, your stability, you know, it is your hard work, and it is, you know, it is you. But then, and that is what happens when we put our faith in Christ, when you're like, you know what, God, I believe in you, that you died for me, that you shed your blood for me, and that you have made me whole. And today I'm a child of God in Jesus' name. You know, whenever we say that prayer, at that point, everyone puts their faith in Christ, that it is Christ that died for them and made them righteous. But you see, because the word, unless we constantly in the word, unless we constantly remind ourselves, what happens is that we slowly slip back to the place where we think it is ourselves. And that's why he says that if you rebuild what you already destroyed, then you make yourself a transgressor. You become a transgressor. And a transgressor, when you say someone is a transgressor, transgressor is like when you willingly, you know, cross the boundary. You know, like it's like how do you call it? Someone who enters into someone's land. When you willfully, you know, this is the boundary line that Christ has given us. We should live in Christ. We should stay in Christ. We should continually put our faith in Christ. Look to Christ for our righteousness. But then we now cross the boundary. We jump the hedge. You know, we break the hedge. And the Bible says, he that breaks the hedge will be, you know, will be beaten by a snake. So whenever we cross that hedge, we find that we become transgressors. We are rebuilding again the things that we destroyed. And this is a place of self-reflection. And that, and at times you need to ask yourself, am I still in Christ, still putting my faith in Christ? Am I still allowing myself to be in Christ? Or I am now moving back to the law, looking at how I can justify myself, looking at the things that I do that make me righteous. And in those ways, I rebuild what I destroyed. But then he tells us that now this is now the summary of Paul. And this is what we look at in Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. It says, I am crucified in Christ. He reminds us, he reminds Peter, he says, I am crucified in Christ. And I, nevertheless, I live, yet not I. Even though I am alive, even though, you know, I exist, even though I have my desires, even though I have my effort, even though I put in the work, even though I do that, I realize that it is not I that lives, but Christ that lives in me. So the thing is to ask God to constantly remind us that every good thing that we do for the kingdom, every good thing, every prayer that we make, you know, every time we spend in the word, every ministry that we participate in, that we do in, it is Christ that lives in us. It is Christ that enables us. And he says that it is no longer, I have been crucified. I have put to death. I have died to those things that used to make me look at myself. We have to constantly die and crucify our flesh, crucify the part of us that thinks it is us, the part of us that thinks that God loves us because of us, the part of us that thinks that God, you know, blesses us because of us, the part of us that thinks that God honors us because of us. But we have to remind ourselves and come back to the place where I say, you know what? The reason you love me, God, is not because of me, but because of your Son, Jesus Christ. The reason why you favor me is not because of my righteousness, is not because of all my human effort, is not because of everything that I've ever done. Yes, everything that I do is good, but I know it is because of your Son. And everything good that I do, it is your Son who lives in me that works out those good things. And the reason and the only reason that God takes us to heaven, the only reason that God justifies us, the only reason that God makes us righteous in his sight, because justification is being given a right standing with God. The only reason and the only way that God gives us a right standing with Him is because we have put our faith in Christ. And that's why it says, I am crucified in Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I. It's not I that lives, but Christ that lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, which I now live in the body, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Are we constantly conscious that even when we speak to people, it is Christ that ministers to people? You know, when we give to people, do we see ourselves as the hands of Christ reaching out to the people? You know, when we, you know, heal, do we constantly see Christ healing through us? Are we conscious of the fact that it is that we have died to ourselves? And this means putting, you know, our dreams, our desires, our human effort, our capacity, you know, all the things that we would want to take pride in, and just say, you know what, it's not I that lives, but it is you, Christ, that lives in me. After I have done this week, you know, after I've completed all my works, after I've completed all my office work, after, you know, after I've done everything that was on my to-do list, or after I have accomplished this great task, or, you know, you've just bought this property, or you've just, you know, completed this, you know, process, can you say that, thank you, God, that it was you that helped me. It was you that worked in me. It was not I that lived. It was not I that did this, but it was you. And that's why it says, the life I live in the body, the life I live now in the flesh, in the body, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. So what happens is that when we think it is us, verse 21 tells us, we frustrate the grace of God, and it becomes like Christ died in vain. So just want to remind us today that let's remind ourselves. Let's go back to the place where we recollect and remember Christ, and just like put Christ ahead of you and hide behind him, and just say, God, I thank you that you see Christ. God, I thank you that it is Christ that lives in me, and I make him Lord. You know, let him come in front of me. Let him be the one to lead me. Let him be the one to surround me. Let him be the one to live through me, and not I. May I die to myself, and may you be revealed. May when I speak, may it be Christ speaking through me, not I. Let it not be my ideas. You know, when I serve people, when everything, how I interact with my family, let it be you that lives in me. May I not be a transgressor. May I be that vessel that demonstrates Christ in everything that I do. Yeah, and I'll stop there, and I'll welcome any reflections. People of God, you're welcome.
Thank you, Doctor. No additions from myself. Thanks.
Thank you very much. Thank you for that awakening and that reminder. You know, sometimes we get too familiar. You know, we get too familiar with God using us, with God speaking to us, that sometimes the focus shifts from Christ to what he's using us to do. So thank you for that reminder.
Amen. We thank God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you that you love us, that you are concerned for us, that indeed our flesh, our body, our cells, we many times forget that it is you that loved us. It is you that died for us. It is you that paid the price for us. It is you that lives in us. It is you that has made us alive. That it is not our human effort. Yes, it is you that works in us. Even as we live, may we die to ourselves. Help us to understand. Help us to constantly be conscious, to remind ourselves that our justification does not come from the works of ourselves, from the works of the law, from our own righteousness, but our justification, our right standing comes from you. And I thank you today that as we do life, as we move around, as we serve people, as we reach out for the lost, as we, you know, heal the sick and raise the dead and do whatever we need to do in the marketplace, I pray that we may constantly be reminded that it is you that works in us. It's not us that live, but it is you that lives in us. And anyone that needs to know you, anyone that has dwelt on themselves, I pray that as they hear this, that Lord, you shall give them the remembrance that it is you that lives. May we put our faith in Christ. May we put our faith in you that has guaranteed our eternal salvation, that we shall meet you when our life is done because we have put our faith in Christ. I pray for our needs. I pray for our families. I pray for our children. I pray for those that are sick. I pray for those that need answers, those that need breakthrough, those that need a miracle, oh God. That, Lord, you are able to do it. Indeed, you provide our every need. You provide our daily bread. And I pray that even as we do all that concerns our lives, that, Lord, may you continually provide and may we see your faithfulness in all these things. I pray all this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. Shalom and God bless.